Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're talking to Amos Goodman. He's running for the 2nd District in the Suffolk County Legislature. Boy, we covered a lot of topics so far, Amos. I'd like to see, hear from you, where do you'd like to see Suffolk County or the state or even the nation be over time? I mean, what are we looking to do?
I think we face a leadership deficit in politics, in government, in corporate America, across the board, at all levels, frankly. The values of hard work, of self-reliance, of prudent risk-taking that, you know, is underpins every entrepreneurial success story, every technological innovation, was some guy who people laughed at, and he believed in it, and he or she built, you know, some of the things that we now take for granted. We're creating a system where those folks are not given the opportunities that perhaps they had in other generations.
Now, so, I know you weren't there for the to observe this, but I think you'll agree that we do have a successful space program in this country. We created one.
We do not anymore, unfortunately.
We don't have one that's active and growing.
We have one that is being decimated and barely exists. I mean, when you need to have the Russians ferry you to the space station, that's a sad story. No kid grows up to be an astronaut anymore.
We did go to the moon.
We did.
We did launch satellites. I was in the U.S. Coast Guard when we had weather ships out on the Atlantic, just going around making sure that people knew what was coming. And now we don't have any of those. We don't need them. We had Lorraine, what was called Lorraine stations. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they don't exist either. But they were all monitoring systems that we had. Now, space has taken over that, and it's done a great job.
Sure.
And we get the best information.
But the U.S. space industry...
Now, my point is, did we have any failures?
Of course we did.
Lots of them.
And you know what? It's a sad story. You go down to the Space Coast in Florida, you know, where around Cape Canaveral, where you really had a thriving... and that's gone. The president canceled the successor to the shuttle program. It wasn't the best program, but it was something. It was stuff that people were working on. There were spinoff technologies. It was keeping a workforce that was well-paid, in place, doing productive things. They shut that down. The infrastructure decayed. The supply chain went away, and those jobs are going to be virtually impossible to reconstitute.
By the way, do you read Long Island Business News?
I do.
I think they're going to publish an article from me on using the maglev for space travel. And the way you do it is instead of running the vehicle in a open air, you do it in a vacuum tube and where there's no resistance. And the theoretical speed of the maglev train is the speed of light. And what we can do is we can get it up to 18,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
And launch it into space. Now, can it be done? It's a mathematical certainty it can be done. It's just going to be expensive.
Look, I'll confess ignorance. I don't know, you know, the extent of that technology. But
I explained it in this article, and I think Joe Dowd's going to say.
I look forward to reading it.
I think he's putting it out next week.
But the stuff that's coming out of Stony Brook, the stuff that's coming out of Brookhaven National Lab, you know, why are we not doing what was done with Lawrence Livermore Lab, which basically, gave birth to Silicon Valley? We're not doing that here.
And you know what? They had a fusion, nuclear fusion testing there for many years, cost a fortune, total failure. You know how many things they learned? It was like things that they never expected.
Exactly right.
But the fact is that the very thing they started never gave fruit. But it didn't matter.
No, if you learn the right lessons. I worry that this sort of leadership deficit at all levels means that, you know, you're not actually learning the lessons because you are hamstrung in your ability to actually pursue things. And then you're shielded from the consequences by, you know, any number of cultural, social, whatever, things exist so that, you know, the bankers who go bust don't go bust. The taxpayers prop them up.
Well,
And so you lose, you know, both you lose the highs and the lows, and I think that that's to the detriment of of our future. I mean, you want the kid
you're running for office.
I am.
You're gonna win or you're gonna lose.
Right.
Either way, you win. You know. You know that. You gotta know that. You gotta believe that. Because what happens is you gained an experience you didn't have, and you get an insight you didn't have.
Oh, sure. It's been an education and not always a pleasant one. But
Now, I don't think it's cool to lose. And the night they come over the air and they tell you you didn't make it, it's not a good night.
No.
I mean, you just might want
to... We give kids a disservice. Going back to our education system, we give our kids a disservice with this sort of Montessori school. Everyone is a winner. You get a participant ribbon. Then you go out into the real world. You think you're God's gift to man? You know, you're sitting there, I got my fancy diploma, this other guy does too, this other one. You realize, wait a minute, I got to actually, like, prove myself. There's only one job opening, and there's 30 people who want it. One person's going to get it, 29 aren't. That's the world. We're not helping our kids when we give them a false sense of all the opportunities.
Well, you know, I came from a socioeconomic class where most of us were poor, and we have really had to prove ourselves. Some of us did. Some of us did quite spectacularly.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't, you know, you didn't go to dancing school and you got a job at the Y, at the busing tables during the afternoon after school.
If you were lucky and you worked hard, the American dream was there for you. And is that the case anymore? Can we really say that? I don't know. It's certainly under siege.
I think we missed the boat when we try to give our kids too much.
I agree with you.
I mean, I have guys and friends of mine in business who said to their sons, "Get lost. I don't want you anywhere near my business. Find out what it's like to hustle hamburgers. I don't care what you have to do." And then they come back to the business and they say, "Hey, Dad, you know what?
Some of the best advice my dad ever gave me was, you know, he likes to sail. We were out on a boat and I was, you know, five or six and I was seasick and I was whining. I want to turn the boat around. He's like, "No, we're not turning the boat around. If you're sick, you go over the board and you feel better." And Amos, you don't always have to be comfortable and it's not always about you. And you know what? He was exactly right. And
what did your father do for a living?
He's a film editor. It has a little glamour to it, but it's a guild, you know, blue collar union trade,
it's a good job.
He's done very well for himself. I'm very proud of him. My great grandfather came to this country speaking no English as a child from Eastern Europe.
Russian?
Somewhere, I mean, where the borders are, in that general area.
My wife's family came from Romania.
But built two fortunes in his life. One he lost in the Depression. This was just a kid, and he was, you know, this person, you know, needs this fabric, this person that, traded it up, built a business. Right before the Depression, he had $1 million line of credit. That's a lot of money before the Depression. Now, he lost it all in the Depression. Then he made another, you know,
My current wife, we were going through Brooklyn. She says, "You see this block, this L block? My grandfather built it. This, they'll go to the next. They built this. You see that hotel? My grandfather built it." I said, "How come you're not rich?" She says, "Because he held the mortgages and the Depression came."
He's accomplished a lot, and that's what we... That's what we need for our kids. We need to preserve the ability to thrive.
What it did in her generation, her brother and her, is told that there's a whole world out there, and you can make it. She became vice president of Lehman Brothers.
But they're not going to hand it to you. You're going to have to fight your way. You're going to have to fight your way for decades and get lucky.
You have to get lucky. You have to educate yourself, and you have to keep your nose to the grindstone. And, you know, both her and her brother were successful people, you know, but they weren't rich.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get rich. But having a successful life and a livelihood that supports you well is a pretty good thing.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing, and there's plenty of people in Suffolk County, in this country, who are, you know, who don't have those opportunities, and they don't have the education, they don't have the skills.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we say, "Oh, sorry, you know, a textile worker in North Carolina, you didn't have your finger on the pulse of globalization and what it would mean for the mills in this country. That's what an outrageous thing to say. There's going to be winners and losers. We have to acknowledge that, be frank, and then say, okay, for the people who don't make out well, here's what we're going to do about it, and be concrete and acknowledge that.
By the way, the state of Vermont is a very poor state. They don't have a poor mentality. They have a mentality that says, we'll get by, we'll figure it out, and they do. This has been fun, Amos. I really enjoyed having you today. And, you're saying the right things, and I hope it's in your heart that you do the right things. And if you should be successful. And I wish you well.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed chatting as well. And
this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We are on Long Island News Radio 103.9. Thank you for listening.